What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter.
So welcome back to another episode. Here we have Roberto Candelaria. I messed it up the first time and I did it the second time. We're going to roll with it though.
If you will, you know, they say third time's the charm. So, you know,
Roberto next year. Candelaria. But if you're new to this podcast and new to my voice, hi, my name is Quadro and I'm going to introduce Roberto in a moment. I'm the new host of this podcast, The Art of Online Business. You can head down to the show notes below and there's two links. One link is to an episode that you can find out where Rick Mulready went to. He's doing cool things in the AI space. And the other link is where you can find out more about me as he, Rick, the former host and my former boss, I used to work with him, interviews me. And speaking of interviews, we have Roberto back. And when I say we have him back, it's because he also was on another segment where we just got to know each other. And that's titled Before We Hit Record. You can find that link in the show notes below. You can really get to just know him and me, but you're going to want to listen to what we have in store. He's going to talk about a summit that he's put together. It's a really cool concept and a twist, because I know you probably heard about summits before, but this one is, it does have something special. And Roberto, he's a partnership and collab strategist. He's a master certified business coach. I mean, he started his business on an $832 Social Security disability check and $104 a month in food stamps. And he just loves helping people, especially people of color, be able to build businesses that they love while also creating a life that they love and enjoy. And to be able to do that with partnerships. He's a specialist when it comes to partnerships, and you're going to hear some good things in this episode. So, Roberto, welcome back.
Hey, welcome good back. To be back.
It is good to be back, and we did it again. We had this previous episode where we hit record so that the listener could hear all that cool conversation before we hit record, and here we are. It's been 20 minutes of us just talking and relating and catching up on life. So I'm going to start this episode off with a question and we'll see where the rest of the episode goes.
Let's go.
Okay. When you were filling out the podcast form, you wrote something and you said, you think people wait for things to be perfect and right. And the idea of how you do it is how it's done has helped you, or how I do it is how it's done has helped you so much in business. What did you mean by that?
Oh, friend. You know, I'm going to go back to when I even started in business. Like, I didn't want to be an entrepreneur. I came from a family of people who had like service. So the U.S. Army, the Army Air Corps, the United States Air Force, my uncle retired as a Marine. My aunts and uncles worked for the Social Security Administration. So like it was, you know, civilian service, military service. And I was the first one. It's like, nah, let's not do that. Like, that doesn't sound cute. That doesn't sound fun. And as I was getting into entrepreneurship, one of the things that I found starting with, like you mentioned, an $832 a month Social Security disability check, $104 a month in food stamps, was like, okay, I didn't have time to wait for perfect. You know, I didn't have time to wait for, well, when this is pretty and that looks great and that is spectacular, it's like, nah, the rent is due. Like, nah, like I joke now about it. It wasn't a joke back then. I often ask people like, do you know the pink envelope dance? and what pink the pink envelope. Yes, the pink envelope.
Okay, making sure I heard that right. Break it down.
So, so not the salsa, not the merengue, the pink envelope dance. And what the pink envelope dance was, this is, if anybody listening has ever had a time in your life where you're just like, oh man, the light bill's late. Oh man, the water bill's late. Oh man, that insurance bill's late. We all know that when they send us our bills back when they used to mail them to us, the envelopes were white. But if you ever found yourself in some situation in life getting behind, either the envelope was pink or the letter inside was pink. And so I now lovingly call this thing, I learned how to do the pink envelope dance, which was, what do I pay when so the shit can just stay on while I figure this out? And so I didn't have time to be like, is this perfect? Because if I was waiting for perfection, I didn't have lights. If I waited for perfection, I didn't have internet. It was like, how do we just take action? And like, it was more of a like, just how do we take action? It was years later, I was talking with a mentor, and they're just like, man, that is the most powerful thought. And I was like, what? They're like, you just really have this self-trust of how I do it's how it's done. And I'm like, yeah, I do. But I couldn't see that in me at first. I didn't see it as self-trust. I saw it as, I want to keep the lights on. And so I've just really owned that as I step into things. It's like, okay, how I do it is how it's done. Meaning, it may not be perfect. It is most likely going to have typos. If y'all know me, if I come up with ideas sometimes, I will go build an entire web page, not tell my team. And they're like, Roberto, the fonts don't match. The font sizes don't match. You have three different color palettes on there. Like, nothing makes sense. I'm like, but it's done. And now we can help people. And so I think that like, that's what it really is for me, is that like, I believe in branding. I believe that fonts and colors and the overall messaging of a brand matters. And I also won't allow that to slow me down from impacting the lives that we're meant to impact. And so I just started to be like, okay, let's go. So I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. And I know the listener is wanting to like reach through the phone, cell phone screen or whatever they're listening on and ask you, okay, but along the lines of what we were talking about earlier before we hit record, at the summit that you're going to put on, or that's, yeah, it's coming up soon at the time of the recording of this podcast episode, you are talking about marrying the two together, as in the ideas and concepts that allow people to have staying power for an online business for like 30 years versus the bleeding edge strategy that people right now are doing to build their businesses up. And so like, I can feel the listener asking, okay, if I adopt, let's call it this mantra or this, or a creed, how I do it is how it's done. How do they walk that thin line between just getting something done and getting it done well enough so it represents their business in a quality way so that they can actually, you know, make sales?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it, how I do it now, and so like y'all, I have no idea how this is going to come out, y'all, because we're just now talking about this. But I think like how I do it now and how it's done now is different than how I did it in, you know, this is 2024, 15 years ago when I had this is just how I do it. And so I think for me, like there will always be this element of just scrappy and just that it's a part of who we are. But I think that when you look at like how I do it is how it's done. So it's like how I do it. Well, like, I guess the first part of that is like, what is it, right? And so the first part of that, how I do it, could be, is just like, how are you showing up for yourself? Yeah. How are you allowing yourself the opportunity to prove to yourself that you're the person that can start and finish something? And so maybe it's not like all pretty. Maybe it's not like all done. And I think that the reason that I say that is that I think that there's so many people that are trying to overcome failure, but they don't ever give them themselves a chance to overcome it because they're too busy pre-planning failure. And so that if we can stop and be like, okay, what is my definition of failure? And if we just define it, whatever it may be like, I didn't get the page up in time. It may be, I didn't get 10 customers. I only got 3. But what's so fascinating about that, right, is like, especially for the online business owner starting out, I think it's so fascinating that we'll go straight to, I didn't get 10 people and not celebrate that we got 3 or not celebrate that we got 1. You know, I don't know if we talked about this on the last recording, but I tell people, like, who wants to know the secret to a 66% close rate on a webinar? And everybody's always like, pick me. I tell them it's real easy. Have 3 people show up and have 2 buy. And that was my very first webinar. Because 66%, it's like 66% of what? but we get so used to these online metrics of, oh, they have an 80% close rate. They have this versus just being like, to me, success was damn. Hmm. I got 2 new people that bought this online course off a webinar. And now these 2 people get to go take this online course. And now I'm going to be able to have a testimonial. And again, only 3 people showed up. I did it like I was preaching to a stadium, y'all. It was all out.
Right on.
But that third person that was there, and you and I briefly chatted about this individual before we hit record. I feel like that needs to be a whole podcast title, like before we hit record, like a whole show. Anyways,
been done. It's already been done. It's already in motion.
But we were talking, and this third individual happens to be somebody who's very well known online, happens to have a 6-figure plus mailing list. And they sent me an email with the subject line, are you ready for the big time? And then all the email said was, you've proven your webinar works. Let's do one to my list. I'd never done a JV webinar. I didn't know what it was. I didn't even have an affiliate marketing system in place. Yet here, because I showed up, again, how I do it is how it's done. I showed up for 3 people. Like, I was talking to 100,000 people. 2 people bought, and it was like a $197 offer, y'all. So it was like $400. Let's be clear. This wasn't like 2 $5,000 clients. We're talking like $400. But that third person was just like, you've proven it works. Let's do one to my list. And they created the landing page. They did everything. They taught me how to set up my affiliate system. It's why I'm so passionate about affiliate marketing and partnerships and collaborations to this day. And I remember he sent out the email. I'm just watching my email list. Like, names are coming in. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, what? And it was within the first few hours, we had over 200 people register. And I was like, what is going on here? And he was like, oh, this ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm. 300,000 person strong email list.
Yeah. And that's around now. I don't remember what it was at that time, right? But it was still over 100,000 at that time. And so I just see names rolling in. And I'm just like, what do you mean this is just getting started? Like with that one email, my email list, I don't remember if it was double, triple, whatever. I got more people on my email list than I had before. Yeah. And I was like, wow. But again, if I would have said, I need to have the perfect webinar before somebody wants to meet to promote me. Oh, I need to have the perfect landing page. Oh, I need to have the right swipe copy for them. Oh, I need the fancy system. Oh, I was just like, no, like this is what I got. And I just believed that it was enough. And he encouraged me that it was enough. And I mean, I have German Shepherds today because of this man. And that's what I mean by it is I think that we think of obstacles that can lead to failure. And then we are just like, okay, these are all the things that could lead to failure. Mm-hmm. So just let me avoid failure by not doing any of that. Instead of saying, right, these are the obstacles that can lead to failure, and then writing them all down, whatever you think they are, like seriously, write them all down And then be like, okay, now if this were to really happen, then what? And what's fascinating is that when we live with the story in our head of like, this is going to be a failure, at least for me, versus writing the failure down that I think is going to happen, when it's on paper, I can just look at it and be like, nobody will show up. Well, what's the plan for that? Oh, well, we just invite more people.
Well, there you go. All right.
The recording could not work. Well, if we never do it, then it's never going to not work anyways because we won't have it.
Yeah.
We might only make one sale. Great. Then we learn about the messaging so we can adapt for the next time. And it's just like, just really write down, like, these are all the failures that I think that can happen. And here's my plan for that failure versus just letting that failure, like, and I should not even say failure, that potential failure cripple us into not moving. That's a really long answer for that question.
I mean, I like that answer. I feel like many times we play out these scenarios in our head that just, they are crippling, and they either slow us down to a halt and we have inaction, or we start with inaction and we never get that momentum. We never get that momentum built up because of all these scenarios that we can so easily like envision in our minds.
Yeah.
Most of them never play out, honestly. Like, you just got to push through. So,
and like, let's be really real. Like, yeah. Let me tell y'all, anytime we've had what I would call a major failure, It wasn't one that I could have guessed.
Interesting how that is.
And so it's like we're over here playing all of these games in our head, and the one that will happen you probably won't even think of. Like, I remember the one for me was, and I don't know if we talked about this, but it's just so fitting in this scenario with what we're talking about, is I did a webinar with another partner, never had that volume at that time. At that time, y'all, this is probably 2012, 2013. It was around like $35,000, $40,000 in an hour, like from this webinar. Again, like $197 offer. And it was auth.net at the time. We didn't use Stripe at the time. Okay. And they froze my merchant account. And they froze it, right? Not because we were doing bad things, but it was abnormal activity. They were like, you made too much money too fast, so we're going to hold your money while we do an investigation. And it's when I learned, right, as an online business owner, the importance of, okay, I need more than one merchant account. It's when I learned, oh, you know what, like as money's coming in and we're doing things, like we should always start to create this additional reserve account so that we can always make sure that our affiliates are paid on time if something like this happens. I didn't have that. That's why I say that's why I learned that. Correct. Because I got to go to some of our affiliates and be like, look, this happened. I don't have your money right now. Can we have a couple extra weeks while they do this investigation? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating how just talking with people, they were like, oh yeah, that happened to me too when I got started. And then I was like, why isn't anybody telling anybody this? Wow. And it was a lesson I got to learn.
You know, when you were talking, I was thinking about, it was this guy, doctor, and have you heard of Myron Golden before?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So I heard of
Myron's work.
Right? Something struck me when he was like, you know, whether I believe it's going to work out or like whether I believe it's all going to like crumble, he's like, I made it all up. And he was like, if I'm thinking about a scenario or some facts and the positive side of those facts, then I'm exhibiting faith, and that creates anticipation, which creates belief. But if I'm thinking about the negative side of that, then I'm exhibiting doubt, which creates anxiety. And he was like, anxiety is the thief of our dreams. And I was like, I had to write that down. So yeah.
Okay.
What is essential? Because basically you are really good at this, getting things done, taking initiative, and not procrastinating out into the future on an idea that you're really passionate about. So having done this several times, and maybe you can speak to somebody with a team or without a team, but what is like essential?
You've probably heard the saying, if you want to make money, serve people. If you want to make a lot of money, serve lots of people. But how do you do that when you're already super short on hours in your day? So if you're on my email list already, then you know that I'm speaking at the Platform and Profit Summit. It's 100% free, and it's a 3-day virtual summit to help you better position yourself and your brand to create even more partnership and profits. Plus, in addition to discussing Facebook ads, I'll also be speaking on a panel called Positioning Yourself and Business for More Connections and Collaborations. Like, if you've ever wondered how I'm meeting all of these cool guests that are appearing on this podcast that you're just getting so much knowledge and info from, well, I'll be sharing that during that panel too. And it all starts May 1st. That's this Wednesday in a few days. Because, well, what if you could quit funding all of your events and projects and launches out of pocket and learn how to leverage the power of sponsorships? And I love this because I hate theory. I never did well with theory in school. I just like practical, actionable advice from people who are actually doing it right now, not what worked for them like 5 years ago. So like, what if you could generate consistent cash flow for your business or increase income while also reaching your lifestyle goals? You know, that reason that you started the business in the first place. Like, what if you could build credibility and influence while creating consistent partnerships and profit to grow your business? Me and about 30 other expert trainers, are going to share our strategies to help you create partnerships and profits, plus the mistakes that we've made so you can avoid them. And I can't stress this too much. This is what's working now, not last year, not the year before, but what we all are doing in our businesses now. So you ready to finally have more partnerships and profit in your online business? Use the link below to register for free. The Platform and Profit Virtual Summit. It's a 3-day free, 100% free summit, and it starts this Wednesday, May 1st. Learn how to better position yourself and create an even better partnerships so you can finally create the profits you desire in your business. I can't wait to see you there. Chat soon. All right, back to the episode.
So I think that there's two things. We'll start with people without a team. And you actually said it, right? You were like, when, I forget exactly how you said it, but when you said it, I was like, oh yeah, that's it. But essentially you said something, paraphrased, y'all, something along the lines of like, when you're really passionate about something, like you just make it happen. And it's that, right? And so I think that the very first thing is like, if you don't have that team yet, is your belief in you, your belief and your offer, and your belief in the transformation that that offer can make for who it is that you are serving, who it is that you're working with for your community, that's what pulls, right? Because, you know, there's that old saying that's like, you know, motivation is like a shower, you need it daily. Okay, and it's really, I'm going to say, for me, sometimes hard to motivate myself for things that I'm not excited about. And so I think that when you have these ideas that you're passionate about, you're just like, oh my God, this needs to happen. This is the best thing in the world. This is going to go out there. It's going to help all these people. And then you go do the webinar for all three people. You go to the landing page, you write the emails, you do all of that. And then it's three people. And you're just like, oh my God, three whole people showed up. And like, would I have loved more? Yes. But for me, I was just like, damn. Like I could have served zero people, but I got to serve three because I decided just to show up and do it.
Yeah.
Now it's still kind of the same and a little bit different. Where I say it's a little bit different is as I'm doing more in the business, I realize, and this is hard for me, y'all, because I love being in the trenches. Like I love having an idea and going and running with it. And then I don't love when my assistant and other people on our team are just like, when are you going to let us do what you pay us to do? Like, you can't, yeah. like you need to stop having ideas and then starting on them before you tell us. And so I would say the second part of this is like, you still be extremely passionate, but become equally as passionate that the people around you that support you, when you let them do that job, it lets you make a bigger impact and a bigger difference. And find people that also have something that they're so passionate about that their belief and their product, their service helps you get there faster. So, example, we came up with this idea. I'm like, okay, we're going to do this summit. And most people will tell you, you should take anywhere from 4 to 9 months to plan a virtual summit.
Most about, people. Yeah.
Yes. About, I don't know, 2 weeks-ish ago. So it was probably about 70 days-ish before the summit. I was like, I should do a virtual summit. And we were sitting here talking. I was like, I could do this and I could do this and I could do this. And it was funny. Like, I got off our last podcast recording. And I was like, I think I'm going to do this.
You were pretty sure you were going to do it.
But I was like, I don't know when. And so then I started looking at the calendar. And if you see me look over here, I'm looking at the calendar. And I was like, but my birthday's in May. And we may, I still don't know, we may go on a cruise. If we go on the cruise, it's May 5th through the 18th, but then my birthday's the 19th, so I couldn't do it after that. It'd have to be before that. And one I just literally... May 18th?
Yeah, May 18th.
Ta-da! See, yeah. good things. Good things. And I was just like, so when would I make this happen? And I was like, huh. I just tripped off my own desk, y'all, with my elbow. I was like, May 1st through 3rd. This sounds good. And then... I opened my project management system and I was like, oh crap. These are like literally the 400 things that have to happen for a virtual summit to happen. Like, you have to pick the name, you have to pick the theme, you have to get the domain, you have to recruit speakers. Like there's a lot of steps. And I was like, okay, I really want to do this. Who do I know that can help me get there faster?
Oh, that's key. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I remembered my friend Cherie. Her company is the Summit Host. And I think y'all, the domain is like just, I think it's thesummithost.com. But I use Kajabi for a lot of stuff. Like, while I love my sales pages on WordPress,
yeah.
Again, I was thinking time. How do we get there faster? I was like, you know what? Cherie has a product that's like all the templates you need to run a virtual summit on Kajabi. And it's like $200 or $300. I emailed her. I was like, girl, I need this. She sent me the link. I bought it. And then I was like, okay, but now I need this other thing with our speaker images because we're redoing a logo and we don't have that design company anymore. I literally, on the weekend, I sent a Slack message to my VA and I was like, you may not get this till Monday. On Monday, here's priority number one. I don't have the old files. Here's the Kajabi thing to the last summit in 2020. So it's been 4 years since we've done one this way, y'all. I'm so excited. I need you to take this logo, get it to the creatives team, remake it in different colors, different formats. Once they need to do that, get it back to me. And then what I need you to do also is I never wrote down all the image sizes. Can you go through Kajabi and then through this old folder, write down all the image sizes, and then get it to the creatives team and have them start working on that. And so I started delegating now that I have resources, now that I have a team, so that I could focus on what I'm best at in this case, which is this. So y'all, Kwejo can tell y'all, I literally started jumping in DMs of people that I know. I'm like, look, y'all, we're doing the summit. It's going to be a quick turnaround. Here's the speaker application. Like, I love you. You're already pre-approved, but you need to fill this out so that my team can do their part.
Right.
Because again, I didn't want to break a process because if I break the process, I create more work for me and for the people that are supporting me, which then causes way more issues. And I think one of the things I've learned over the years is like, I'm really good at what I do. I'm not really good at what I don't do. And when I try to do those things that I'm not the best at, now that I have a team, I often become the bottleneck in the business. when I didn't say that again.
That was really good. One more yes. time. You're really good.
We're going to say it again this other way too. So I'm going to say it twice.
Okay.
When I did not have a team, because I was just like, nobody will do it better than me, or I don't have money, or how am I supposed to spend money to make money if there is no money? I became the bottleneck in the business. And so whether you have a team or you don't have a team, you can be the bottleneck in the business if you're spending time and energy on things that are not the highest and best use of your time. I remember Chalene Johnson. I was at Marketing Impact Academy. I don't remember when, but there, I think she calls it the Inez effect, because I think Inez was her first like person that she hired. I really think it's Inez, but it's the somebody effect. And what it was is her and her husband were talking, her and Brett, and they were saying like, we need help, we need help, we need help. But they're like, but we don't have money to get help. And then they really asked themselves the question, if somebody came to help us at the house 3 hours a week, whether it be cleaning, doing laundry, whatever, what could we do in those 3 hours that would make us more money than if we were doing those things?
Right, right.
And so for those of you that don't have a team yet, I want to invite you to start thinking about that, right? Like, and another unpopular thing here too is like, it's okay to hire offshore teams. Most of my team is offshore. I love offshore teams. And they're one of the things that have allowed me to grow faster, because we can get so much more done quicker and efficiently. Mm-hmm. When I say efficiently, I even mean cost-wise. And I know that there are some people that would say, well, I can only hire people from my country, wherever that is you work.
Right.
If that's one of your beliefs, I want to invite you to ask yourself, why? And if you really love the reason, love the reason. If you're one of those people that say, I can never work overseas because of da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ask yourself, where did I get that belief? And is that still true for me? And whatever the answer is, as long as you love it, love it. You can build your team in your city, in your state, in your country. You can build it offshore. You'll find what works for you, but love the reason you do it. Personally, I love offshore teams. We do have people here in the United States. I love offshore. One of the things that I love about my assistant, John G, is he works central time with me, but then we also have other people offshore with the agency that we work with that work at night, is that I can give John G tasks. He does them. He's extremely proficient, extremely efficient. And then he now is now project managing the rest of our overseas team. What I loved starting out with overseas teams earlier in my journey is that I could give them stuff to do. I would fall asleep. I would wake up, and I'd wake up to all this work that was done. Yeah. And then I could make some stuff done. And so it actually increased productivity, because I wasn't giving edits during the day real time. I was giving edits. They were being done overnight. And then the next morning I got to start that way. And so it's a long way to say is like, ask yourself if you are the bottleneck. And if you are, what's maybe one thing you can do to kind of relieve some of the pressure so there can be a little bit more flow?
And what I'm hearing you say is, if like the listener is the one person bottleneck in their business, the first thing is quit thinking about all the things that can go wrong and focus on the things that can go right, and take some of that wasted mental space or time and put that into work in the business. But then also rethink what you're saying. If they're going from solopreneur to team, like rethink what a team is, if they could offshore. My team, most of them are in the Philippines, so I contract with like somebody from Canada, people from Canada. But yeah, to rethink their time and rethink what are some tasks that they could get off of their plate, but then also take that new free time and go put that towards what's most productive. Yeah.
And you know, and I'll even say like, sometimes it may not be a task in your business, y'all. For some of you, it may be jumping on something like TaskRabbit, because it may take you 2 to 3 hours to clean your house, or one of the first things that we did after we had somebody like helping us clean the house is, I don't know if y'all do this, it seems to happen a lot around here. There's this magic that happens when you do laundry and you move it to the dryer and then move it to the couch and then it just sits there. Like there's not a disappearing act that just makes it end up in your closet and in your drawers. And we learned very quickly that if we have a lot of that, because clearly, oh my God, especially socks, socks are the worst.
I agree.
That like you can jump on TaskRabbit and find somebody for, depending where you're at, like here in Austin, for $15 to $22 an hour to come over for like 2 hours and fold all your laundry for you. And then you can just put it away, or to pay somebody for, you know, a couple hours to come over and like do a quick clean of your house. We have somebody regular that we found and she's been with us, gosh, probably a year and a half, almost 2 years now. Yeah. It comes to clean our house. Like I think it's like every other week she comes now, but now it's just kind of a routine. And for what it takes her time-wise versus what we pay for her to do it, she's here for about 2.5 to 3 hours when she does it. Like I can make 4 or 5 times that, like easily. If I were just to send an email to our email list in the time that she's doing that I normally wouldn't because I'm doing that. Or if I were to take a sales call, or in this case, now that we're leading up to the summit, I'll be able to record 2 or 3 summit sessions with somebody in the time I wouldn't to before because somebody's doing that. And then just about 1 to 1.5 all access pass sales would cover what it takes for our place to be cleaned. And so when we can start really learning the value of our time, that said, there's going to be things that you just love to do and ask yourself, like, I know I could pay someone else to do this. I know it's probably more efficient to do that, but I love writing copy. I know we could hire somebody to do it, but I absolutely love it. And I'm just not willing to get rid of it yet.
And that brings joy to you.
Yes, it's fun. It's a game.
Yeah. I do these, it's a side project. It's not my core business, but I do these hiring projects just because for people who need to find a VA, you know, maybe in the Philippines, like where mine are, but they just don't know where to start. And so like they hire me and I go and find them and use all my systems and processes, because I've hired like at least 16 people now, to help them find somebody. And it's always so intriguing when I hear, oh, wait, I can hire somebody part-time? Oh, wait, that part-time doesn't have to be like 20 hours a week. And it's like, you're a business owner. Like, you've been blessed with the opportunity to have this passion that is making money as you serve people. Like, how about go do what you do better? And this task that you loathe or that just takes up so much of your time, let it be somebody else's blessing. Like, you can hire somebody who just does Canva design for you for like 5 hours a week. Like, you're not super good in the spreadsheets, you know, your inbox is like just kind of strangling you. It's stifling how many emails are stacking up in there. Let somebody who actually enjoys that go and like further themselves while they help you. It's like, let's go. I'm passionate.
Absolutely.
About that.
Yeah. And like, you know, one of the things that John G does for me now, and before, like this is growth, y'all. If somebody would have given this to me 15 years ago when I started, I would have been like, why are they trying to tell me what to do? They're making more work for me, is how I would have seen it. And now, like at the beginning of every day, John G does something that we call the start of day report. And he literally sends me a Slack message. And in that Slack message, it's, here's my priorities for the day. Here are the emails that I don't know how to respond to them. And he'll link them in the Slack message straight to the inbox. Here are the things that need your action. Like you need to go pay this invoice. You need to do whatever. Here are the things that are that like he calls them block. We call them like blocks.
Okay.
These are the things that are blocking me, aka John G, that I need from you so I can go do my job.
Yeah.
Right. And let me know if there's anything else I can help you with today. And so every morning, that's the first Slack message I see from John G. It's like, okay, he needs da, da, da. And I literally can just get in Slack and be like this morning, it was like, reply to so-and-so. We're not interested right now. Reply to so-and-so. Thanks for this opportunity. And then can you schedule it? you have my credit card, pay these two things. In terms of the blocks, on our weekly call, we meet every Monday, y'all. So Monday at 11 a.m. Central is about when he and I meet every Monday. We'll discuss that during our weekly call. And it takes me like 10 minutes max every single day, and I don't have to be in my inbox anymore. And like, oh my gosh, y'all, do you know how much time that frees up? Some of you know that. And so like, I love my inbox now because it's sorted for me. But again, that was something that I had to say, like, this is not the best use of my time. It is not the best use of my time to go through the hundreds of emails we get a day. It is not this. And now this lovely human, John G, gets to be like, hey, let me help you with this. Here's what you need a response on. We've created a spreadsheet that has sample responses. He can reply back. If it requires someone else on our team, he knows who to send it to. And so like, I've learned that the more that I empower other people to help me, the more I empower other people to do things within the business, the more that we as a whole can help more people. But I can't want to help people if I'm not willing to receive help myself. And that was a lesson that I had to learn over the years.
Yeah, there you go. I feel like we could just keep going on team. Like it's, I'm over here chuckling. I literally, when you said John G, two things popped into my mind. The first was, I have a John G who works for me, but he goes by Ken. But then that's why I just went and typed in my email to make sure that his first name was John. So he's John G. But I'm like, well, he's a video editor. And the second thing was a joke that like is ongoing between me and my wife, that so far everyone on the team that I've hired this past year, their names start with a J or the J sound. So there's Joyce, there's Giselle, there's John. And there was somebody named Jaira, but she is now just working with us part-time.
And you know, I think that that's really good what you're saying for people that are thinking about hiring. Sorry, I had a whole conversation in my head, y'all. Listen, that was the before I hit recorded my own head. So is as you hire, I would invite you to get very clear on like, what is your style? Like, what is your management style? What is your structure? So like for me, I know people that love to go to like online jobs, PH, go to Upwork, go to I think it's FreeUp, some of these other things, Fiverr. Those aren't my strength, y'all. I do very well because of the background that I had in advertising, strategic partnerships. Like I do very well in structure. And for some of the stuff we were doing, I didn't know what that structure was because I lived in structure, but I hadn't created it. Mm-hmm. And so like I have two agencies that I work with. I love working with agencies. You oftentimes will pay a little bit more than if you hire somebody directly. But for me, I love knowing I don't need to hire a podcast person and a Canva person and a Kajabi person and a WordPress person. I learned for me, I love having a point of contact that's a project manager and going like, here's what I need. They go do whatever. And then I get the work back. And that works beautiful for us. And so now John G, who's my executive assistant, he works actually for that same agency. And so now what's great is he's now become kind of the project manager and the intermediary between the rest of the creatives team and the development team at this agency for me. So now I don't even talk to the project managers, like John G does it all. And so like, ask yourself, like, do I want to go into a structure that's already here? Do I want to hire? Do I want to create my own structure? Mm-hmm. Both can be amazingly well, both have their downsides, and really begin to explore like, what is it that I want? And like, so yeah, but get help. Get help.
Helps. So, for my own service. Like,
sorry. So the names you hired, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I don't know the names of everybody because it's an agency. And then it made me remember, like, yeah, like sometimes people are just like, I don't know how to hire. Well, great, hire an agency. If you're really good at hiring and you already have systems, you may want your own people. And so it's I think it's really cool to allow yourself the opportunity to explore it either way.
Agreed. So for the listener who's been like, when are you going to get to the summit? When are you going to get to the summit? You teased the summit at the beginning of this episode. If you don't talk about the summit, I'm going to leave a 3-star review and say it was clickbait. So, so this summit, you've talked about how you had the idea, believed in yourself, took the action, and you've practiced believing in yourself and taking action on your ideas enough to do this confidently, and how you've delegated with your team. Tell us a bit about the summit.
Yeah, so it's going to be called the Platform and Profit Summit. It is tentatively May 1st through 3rd, 2014. And I'm saying tentatively, y'all, because one of the things I have done. Yeah. Okay. So y'all, this is like the speaker interest page. So if you want to be a speaker, hey, go check it out. The one of the reasons I say tentatively, y'all, is because of this, is I realize once we get into it, it may turn into 4 days. I realize as we get into it, before we like do all the public promotion for it, it may turn into April 30th to May 4th. And so I allow myself the flexibility until we actually set the promo dates, that the dates might shift by a day or two. So what it really is we're working with speakers, coaches, people that would identify as a online business owner, how to better be able to position themselves, to partner with other people, and then ultimately to profit. And I say position, right? Because positioning is one of those things that I think people are like, oh my God, you need to build a platform, you need to do this. But we don't really have conversations with what people are positioning for, right? So like if you write a book and you're just like, oh my gosh, I need to become a best-selling author. How you position to become a best-selling author and sell those books is one thing, versus how you leverage the title of best-selling author is something completely different. And so we're going to be talking about positioning. We're going to talk about partnerships. So collaborations, JVs, affiliates, how you create your own affiliate program, how you find affiliates for your programs, how you find offers that you can create. And then day three is really all about profit. And this is fun because one of the things that I see happen in the coaching world is so many people just want to do one-on-one coaching, or they've been told that in order to become a successful online business owner, you have to start as a one-on-one coach or one-on-one service provider. And I just really don't believe that. I started with online courses, so I'm just like, haha, I proved y'all wrong. I didn't know any better either, so... We're going to be talking about what are some of the different profit centers or revenue centers that you can create in your business. You know, do you want to do events? Do you want to do retreats? Do you want to do VIP days? Will it be online courses? Will it be group coaching programs? You know, and these are different ways that as an online business, as a service provider, as a coach, that you could make profit in your business. And that's what we're going to talk about for 3 days. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. And I can't even tell y'all who's speaking because I have no idea yet.
Oh, but it'll be good. Maybe. What you wrote. Oh, man. Go. Sorry.
And I want to say this, y'all. I caught myself as I was saying this. I was like, oh my God, we are so excited about this. Well, going back to where we started, I hope that you can hear and see the passion I have for this. And I also just told you, I don't even know who's speaking. I just told you everything you're going to learn. And I don't even know who's going to teach it to you. I may have to teach it if we don't find anybody. But what's so cool about that is that I've done those things. I know we're going to find the people, but I want to invite you to have that level of belief and that level of excitement for something that you're doing, even when you don't know how it's going to happen yet. Like that's what came to mind as I was saying that. I'm like, this thing's less than 60 days away. And I'm like, and this is going to happen. And this is going to happen. And I don't even know who's going to teach it yet, but I'm so excited that they're going to get this. I want you to have that belief in your product, in your service, and the transformation that your community gets to have because they got to work with you. So that's what I was thinking with that.
I think that's great. I like how you wrote, we want the real unfiltered truth of what works. Yeah. You're like, we don't just want somebody to say it's a mindset issue and only get some real.
I hate that. People are like, I'm not selling in my business. And people like, so many coaches, so many coaches be like, oh, well, maybe if you just change the thought on that you'll be able to, it's just like, okay, cool. So why aren't you selling? Do you not like your offer? Do you not like the way that it's priced? Like, do you not have access to the people? Like, what's the real reason you're not selling? Like, let's figure it out. Like, it takes action to grow a business. And while sometimes we don't take action based on like our belief or lack of belief, it takes action. And so sometimes if we can just be really raw and really real with ourselves about, okay, here's what's going on, and just lay it on the table, we can move forward versus, you know, being hyped up or gaslit by people just being like, you just need to change the way you think about it. It's like, no, sometimes you need to change your offer. The offer sucks.
Like... Thank you. Thank you. But it's so true. Who was I interviewing? Dallas Travers. Have you heard of her?
No.
A coach for coaches. Really cool lady. What she was saying was, her hot take on that is, so many of us, well, I'm not a certified life coach, but so many coaches do their clients a disfavor because they only coach them. And she's like, no, you provide coaching, you know, you help them, like you reflect questions back at them. You help them really think about like where they're coming from with various mindsets. But once they get to like the path they want to go on, you need to consult them and tell them this is the right thing to do. Because otherwise, like you said, like your offer could just suck and it needs to be repositioned. Or maybe you need to spend a little more time hopping on like 15-minute calls and asking some questions and doing some market research, or, you know? So thanks for saying that. Thanks for saying that.
Listen, I have so many opinions on this stuff. And so I'll just say this. Like, I truly do believe there is a difference between coaching and consulting. In coaching, we get the beautiful opportunity to ask questions. We get to reflect. In consulting, we're very much like, hey, here's the plan. Here's how to build the plan based on what you say. And then there's this other area. It's like to say like mentorship, which is, here's how I did it. Here's how my other people I'm working with are doing it. And based on what you've told me, in my experience, in your experience, this may be the path for you. And so when I'm like coaching, I like to say that I'm just a real experience for people. That I'm not a coach, I'm an experience.
Because
I'm going to coach you. If we're doing VIP days, if your clients, we will do the consulting, we will do the plan. And very much like with this summit, one of my clients, Ashley, is where I'm saying it's way more mentorship in this, and that she's kind of like, well, I want to do a summit one day. Can I come and join you behind the scenes? And so she's doing our speaker interviews. She's helping with different summits. And so she's getting the real life hands-on application of, this is what it takes, because I also want to do this in the future. And so I think that like coaching's amazing, and like understand the difference between coaching, consulting, mentorship, as you make your offers and let people know like, hey, I'm just going to ask you some questions about your head, or I've lived this. Let me help you figure out what's working, what's not, based on what you say you want, because everything's not a mindset issue, y'all. I'm just going to say that, like, not everything's a mindset issue.
You said, let me help you figure out what works. I'll say that again.
For you? I don't know.
Let me help you figure out what works based on what you want.
Based on what you want. And okay. I think so I work with a lot of moms. I've also worked for some reason, a lot of single moms. And it's never been that like on a web page, I'm like, I'm the coach for single moms. It's happened. Work with a lot of, in fact, 90% of our clients are women. A large portion of that are women of color. And one of the very first things when we're helping somebody build their business, whether it's an online business or a service provider, I've worked with attorneys, with CPAs, with candle shop owners, with Shopify store owners. Like, I just love business. I love online business. Yeah. But I start with like, what are your goals? What is it that you want? Because when I sit and I talk with the mom who's like, I want to be in the drive line every morning. I want to pick them up every day after school. Hmm. What that means is I have between 10 and 2. I want to make this much money. And when they get home from school, I want to be able to focus on homework and be mom and not worried about the business. Like, this is how much money that I want to make. What do we think that I can do in 20 hours a week to make this much money? That's a fun puzzle to figure out. But I think that's more the consulting side, right, y'all?
Yeah.
But I think that so many people are like, just create a 3-month coaching package, charge $5,000, or just, it's like, we customize to where people are based on what they want. I have an amazing client that, like, one of her big business goals, it wasn't even monetary. It was, how do I build a business that can let me have my daughter have her own bedroom? And, you know, like, that's a different problem.
Yeah.
It's a different puzzle per se. It's like, okay, so now we're not solving for, how do I make $5 million? We're solving for, okay, how much is that place going to cost? When do you want to do it? Da-da-da. And sometimes I think one of the things that has happened in the coaching world is like, it is this microwave success has been taught. Like, you just put it in, you hit 60 seconds and ta-da, it's done. And what I think happens is that we're losing the art of the relationship. We're losing the art of humanity. We're losing the ability for people to have their micro wins, right? Yeah. Not microwave, their micro win. Because sometimes that very first win, like, this person may have this goal of, like, I want my daughter to have their own bedroom. But that may be the goal over here. But that means that the very first win is, I made my offer. The very next win is, oh my gosh, I love the price of this offer. The third win is like, oh my God, I got my first client. And that there's all these wins on their ways to our goals. And that as entrepreneurs, we don't stop and celebrate those little wins. What people do is like, but I'm not at the big one yet. And that when we can stop and celebrate these small things along the way, that's where, to me, the real magic happens. Oh my gosh, it's going to turn into a 3-hour episode. We got to go, friend.
Right?
So, I just look at the time.
I don't look at the time. So this, like, for you who's listening, you want more of this, but like I read off the website, the real unfiltered truth of what works, and kind of like this, seeing these two concepts married of like the strategies that give businesses staying power, but then also the bleeding edge strategies of people like right now that are using to build up their businesses, then head to the show notes below. And click on the link.
See,
because platformandprofit.com, right? The platform and profit.
That's what it is right now.
Is coming. It's coming. You're listening to this before May, what are the dates?
Tentatively May 1st through 3rd.
Tentatively May 1st through 3rd.
Yo, there's not even after, a wait list there yet. Like,
yeah. Oh, it'll be there.
Listen, oh, it'll be there by then. It'll be there. Yeah. But look, y'all, we're talking about it like it happened already, so. I want you to talk about your stuff that way too. Like, it's just going to happen.
You know, it's so easy. And we'll close here. It's so easy to say like, oh, Roberto, that's hard. Like, how do I talk about it like it's happening? But it's like, it's not that hard. Let's just make it simple. Think back to like when we were kids, you know, your parents tell you, because you're a Disneyland guy, you're going to Disneyland. It's like kids just all of a sudden start asking so many questions about what it's going to be like, you know, and will there be this and will there be that? And I can remember, I never got to go to Disneyland when I was little, but I can remember the first time that I had a trip abroad outside of the US. And I was just thinking, it's going to be so cool. And like, I was looking on the beginnings of the internet at various pages, you know, pre-Instagram, and just like wondering, what will this be like to be there and walking down the street? It's like, we got to remember to put that same sort of like imagination and then like, let's call it positive questioning to work for these business ideas that we have. I can't wait for the summit.
Okay. Last thing. You made me think of it. And it's just this, like, I want to invite you to remember why you got into business in the first place. Because I guarantee you, like, whatever your business is, you didn't stop and say, I'm getting in business so I can sit here and think that I'm a failure and never do anything. Huh. No, probably thought like, I got in business and I'm going to help whoever. I'm going to help these women. I'm going to help these men. I'm going to help these coaches. I'm going to help these business owners accomplish this goal because of my experience. And like, you have this audacity and this belief that you could be a business owner and make that happen. Like, when that doubt creeps in, go back to that version of you that was like, we're going to make this happen and it's going to be amazing, because there's a version of you that thought that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten business. And so when you were talking about like that trip, like, it's going to be amazing and we're going to get there and we're going to do this, like, have that same childlike wonder in your business journey, because sometimes you get lost, but then you can find your way again. But find that wonder again. Because if you really thought that everything was doom and gloom, you probably wouldn't have started a business in the first place.
So true. If you want to hear more from Roberto, He said you can DM him. So his link, his Instagram DMs are in the show notes below, as is the link to the summit and his website. With that, like, this has been a great conversation. Thank you for being on the episode.
Thank you.
And we'll talk soon, or see you soon, or you'll hear from me soon. Take care and be blessed. Bye.
Don't forget to head down to the show notes below and register for the Platform and Profit Summit that starts May 1st, this Wednesday, where you're going to hear just practical advice that's working right now, this year in 2024, not in years past, right? Like how to build a 90-day evergreen funnel that actually works. Presented by Corinne Crabtree. Heard of her? How about minimalist marketing? How to get more eyes on your business by doing less? Or what about 5 simple website fixes to get more clients? I'm not going to read through all of these good talks and strategy sessions, but what you got to take away is this is not theory. It's what's working in people's business. These experts that are speaking, they're sharing the good stuff, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I'll be speaking there too on a panel about how to position yourself and your business for more connections and collaborations, because really it's partnering and collaborating with people that brings authority, that brings in steady revenue and profit into my business. So I want you guys to learn and take away strategies and tips and tricks and real systems that you can put to work in your business right now. That link is in the show notes below. Sign up is 100% free, but it does start May 1st. That's in a couple days from now, and I'll see you there. Take care. Bye.